Hi, I'm Julien Buzita, the general manager of La Neige and Innisfree, and what I love about beauty is that every day is different.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Hi, this is Mimi Banks, and you're listening to Beauty is Your Business. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of having Julien Buzita, the general manager of Innisfree and La Neige, on with us today. Good morning, Julien.
Hi, good morning, Mimi.
I love catching up with my old friends from L'Oreal because they have such interesting and exciting careers, and you are definitely one of them who I've cheered along the way and so excited for all that you have done. And I would love for you to share more about your career path from where we met to your exciting role now.
We started literally at the same moment at L'Oreal in the US. I'm French, but I moved to the US with L'Oreal 20 years ago, initially for an 18-month rotation, and I never left. I extended my welcome a little bit.
And that's amazing.
And so I did 15 years at L'Oreal, where I learned all the ropes. And of course, you know, doing marketing back in the days is nothing compared to what we do today. There was no social media. There was no influencers. There was barely Amazon when it comes to beauty. I've done all the marketing roles from operational marketing to global marketing at L'Oreal, mostly in the professional division, Redken, and then Kérastase. And then I finished my current L'Oreal career as the head of global marketing for Kiehl's. And after 15 years of L'Oreal, the big question was like, will I stay forever or will I make the jump with people like you or other of our friends? And I ended up leaving the group for a startup, understanding quickly that it was not the right fit for me, and then bouncing back shortly with LVMH at Fresh. And then I started at Amore Pacific with the first mission to be the general manager of Innisfree and launching the brand in the US. At the time, Innisfree was a very big brand in China, the number two brand in China, with a very successful business model of direct-to-consumer, especially with our own freestanding stores. And so the roadmap at the time was to open freestanding stores, flagship stores, as well as a big website. And I was told in my interview, you will never go to Sephora, you'll never go to Ulta, you'll never go to Amazon, which was interesting at the time. But of course, the pandemic changed that a little bit. And before the pandemic, we had actually opened Sephora for Innisfree. When the pandemic hit, that was an opportunity for Amore Pacific in the US, the group, to relook at their entire portfolio of brands and channels. And at the time, we were a bit overextended in too many brands, too many channels, and we wanted to really focus our efforts. So as part of the reaction to the pandemic, we kind of retooled our strategic priorities in the US. And I became the CMDO, Chief Marketing and Digital Officer, of the new ensemble, focusing on four priority brands, which were La Neige, Innisfree, Suwasu, and Amore Pacific, and three priority channels, Sephora, Amazon, and our own DTC website. And with that, we really operated a complete shift of organization, a much tighter organization with, at the time, a lot of synergies between the brands. All the functional support of PR, social media, digital, creative were all common to the four brands. And that really helped also change the culture, improve best practices, ways of working, and start to really be a success story of retaining talent and building amazing career with the talent we currently have with Amore Pacific US. And then more recently, I got promoted to general manager of La Neige and Innisfree on the tail end of like an amazing journey of La Neige, which is one of the fastest growing brands in skincare in the US. And Innisfree really starting to pick up as well with a big relaunch in January 2024, actually, that we're very excited about.
First of all, I think that that's the most concise career history to date that we have learned from. And there's so much richness there. And congratulations on all your success so far on Amore Pacific. That's incredible. Those people who aren't familiar, I'd love for you to just share more about each brand, about La Neige and also Innisfree, just to give some highlights. And I think you've had some exciting wins lately too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the group Amore Pacific is a Korean company who started initially as like a domestic success, like they're the number one market share in Korea forever, basically, and then progressively expanded to the neighboring Asian countries. And only more recently, like 10 years ago, they really operated a shift to Western, to reach Western markets, specifically North America. So the success and the growth of the group Amaury Pacific in the US is fairly recent. It's just 10 years old, basically. And with that, Laneige has become truly the number one brand of that success and the pillar of the growth. And the success of Laneige in the US is truly the roadmap of how those Korean brands are winning in the Western world. So what we've been inventing between the Korean HQ and our US operations is how to westernize Korean brands, what are the type of content, what are the type of storytelling that is resonating with a Western consumer when you talk about K-beauty. So that's been super interesting. And what has been interesting from my background is because I had done both global marketing and operational marketing in my L'Oreal days, I was able, while I was in charge of operations and building the P&L, building the distribution channels, building the partnership with Sephora, for instance, I was also able to partner with our HQ team on saying like, the campaigns are going to work much better this way. And we ended up shooting and we ended up moving all the content creation and the photo shoots in the US. And I have a creative studio, internal creative team and creative studio, where we're doing all the photo shoots in the US, as well as all the content for social media.
That's incredible. That's a huge win and a huge shift specifically for the global market and global team to trust you to say, this is how you communicate the brand, our Korean brand in the US.
Exactly. So that's been a huge way to win. And then now that like Laneige is a little bit bigger, the idea is how do we re-globalize this brand and stop having two or three different brand identities? Because if you look at Laneige over the last more recent years, you kind of have three brands. You have Laneige US, Laneige China, Laneige Korea. And there's a lack of consistency, very honestly. What we're working currently on is to really to become like more a global, a consistent brand with some regional opportunities, but to kind of re-harmonize the whole thing. And of course, you know, the big success behind Laneige has been the lip sleeping mask, this iconic product that completely became its own phenomenon on social media through TikTok, through influencers, through celebrity love. And we were able to really leverage that also with Sephora. Like we really had an amazing partnership with Sephora and to continue to build this cult status with our organic and core flavors, but constantly pulsing limited edition and new sets. We've historically always been like a top seller in the holiday season with these queues and the holiday sets. And we're constantly surprising and delighting our fans with new flavors and new ways to reinvent this product nonstop. And more recently, the sister product, the Lip Glowy Balm, which is in a tube, is starting to pick up as well because of like the lip category kind of shifting back from jars to tube. And so with that, we have secured the number one lip treatment brand position in Circana, formerly known as NPD, with over 35% of market share when the number two has 3.4%. So we're like uncontestable.
Congratulations.
Leaders.
That's amazing.
Thank you. It took a lot of work and my team has been amazing working. Our team and our partnership with Sephora has been really critical into that. But of course, you know, now we have the biggest target on our back and everybody's going after us for the market share. So we're certainly not staying complacent and we have very ambitious goals for next year to stay on top and defend our leadership.
Wow, that's incredible. Tell us about Innisfree.
So Innisfree, you know, I love Laneige, but Innisfree is truly like the brand that made me join the organization in the first place. I had been fortunate through my travels for Kiehl's or for Fresh to go to Asia, to go to Korea. And I had been in those amazing Innisfree flagship stores in Shanghai and in Seoul. And I remember, it's not made up, it's an accurate stuff. My first day in Korea in Myeongdong, which is the mecca of K-beauty at the time, like the pandemic has kind of changed that. But I remember like entering into that Innisfree store and saying, if this concept ever comes to the US, it's going to be amazing. I would love to be part of it. And 3 years later, I got a phone call from a recruiter saying like, we're launching Innisfree in the US. Do you even know the brand? I'm like, I'm your person. And I knew day one that like I will get that job because I could speak to it so much. You know, I wouldn't call it manifesting it. I'm like not that generation, but probably it's kind of what happened.
I almost said it was like meant to be. Yeah.
No, exactly. And in a way, like what I did at Kiehl's and at Fresh from a storytelling point of view, from a retail environment point of view, kind of totally prepared me for then like Innisfree, which the brand positioning of like, you know, like clean formula, natural formulas, and retailtainment and retail environment and servicing, all that were already stuff that I'd started to learn during my time at Kiehl's and Fresh. So there was a lot of things that I was prepared for. Of course, the $1 million question was like, will I get along with the Korean culture. So it was not so much about feeling fit for the job operationally, but like more like the cultural shift and will I work with it, you know? And of course, there have been moments where it was a bit challenging and we had to educate each other on both sides, but it's been a super rewarding experience. And I learned a lot, different ways of operating as well. Overall, it's been an amazing journey so far. Innisfree, the brand has shifted. When we launched Innisfree in the US and when Innisfree was super successful in Asia, it was a multi-brand category. Of course, rooted in skincare, but truly we had over 1,000 SKUs in makeup, body care, hair care, pet care, interior fragrances. It was a lot of SKUs. And it was really the brand that had invented retailtainment and amazing flagships. A lot of other brands in the West, you could tell we're getting a lot of inspiration from the Innisfree flagships back in the days. And the storytelling was fabulous because it was all about sourcing our natural ingredient from Jeju Island. Jeju Island is the Hawaii of Korea. It's this volcanic island, which is somewhat small, but has 5 different climatic zones. And so it's just like the vegetation that grows there is amazing. And you have such a diversity of fruit, vegetables, plants, flowers, that it's like a never-ending source of inspiration. And the particularity is that the group Amora Pacific has been owning green tea fields in Jeju Island for the last 50 years. And so we truly brought this concept of from the field to your face, you know, from the plant to your face. And like we cultivate the green tea, we extract the green tea. We have over a lot of patents on green tea expertise and that go into amazing formulation for daily hydration, antioxidant protection with green tea. So our iconic products for Innisfree are all the green tea products, especially the green tea seed serum, which has been an iconic product for many years. It's the champion of daily hydration. And so Innisfree has been known really as like your entry to skincare, you know, like daily hydration, troubled skin. Like we were really like your big sister, if you will, getting into skincare at a very good quality, natural, clean formulas at a very affordable price point. Because initially that direct to consumer business model was like, we're not going to lose the margin with the retailers, going direct with the consumers.
Wow, that's incredible. I had no idea about the green tea farming. That's like such incredible stories. So Julian, one thing that's really struck me about you and your story, and I think people would be really interested in learning about, is you as a French man comes to the US. So there's a huge culture change there. Even though if it was L'Oreal, it's still, I mean, I worked at L'Oreal in the US and L'Oreal in France, not the same place. They're the same roots to some degree, but like the people, the way of life, the expectations, how you say hi to someone in an elevator or not say hi to someone in an elevator. There are all these like nuances in the culture. So you had to adapt from more or less from France to the US, spent a long time and now live in the US, but now had to also adapt to another culture that's seemingly foreign also. And now you're successfully doing it, you know, 7 years in. I'd love for you to just share more about your perspective on how to do that and what's the best way, because not everybody is successful at doing that.
Sure. It came very organically. When I moved to New York and working for L'Oreal, I was very junior and I had only worked at L'Oreal in France for a year, basically at a very junior level. So my entire career was truly an American career and learning the American business way versus first starting with a French culture way of business, even though, yes, you know, that was a bit in my gene. I think L'Oreal in the US was the best American business school for me. You know, I learned all the way of the American way of business, the presentation skills, the alignment, the efficacy, you know, like making decision. You know that in France, like, the decisions are made at 8 p.m. at the end of the day between two people and not during the three-hour meeting. In the U.S., you know, you have an agenda, you're taking decisions, you have next steps, timelines, roadmaps. All those things are really like what has been making me successful. Like I've brought those tools with me everywhere I've went afterwards. I'm seeing it as an American way of doing business, not exactly the same way in France. So I think my profile is an American worker with the sensitivity of a French person to begin with. But then when I made a move with Amore Pacific and started to work with the Korean culture, I think this ability to be extremely detail-oriented and clear in my asks that came from my American background was very helpful because here, like it was getting lost in translation, the level of proficiency in English was not always optimal, depending on who were speaking on the Korean side. And so you had to be super clear, very, very clear, because otherwise, like, there was opportunities for misalignment and miscommunication. And then it has to come with a little bit of patience, both in terms of you have to educate a lot, explaining the why, like things that you would take for granted, like, this is how a Sephora works. You have to say it over and over again, so it really sinks in. Or you have to listen to, you know, the way they make decision. And the way they make decision maybe takes a little bit longer, but then when the decision has been made, no one is questioning the decision and everybody goes very fast. So it takes a little longer to get to the final decision, but then you accelerate in the execution, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, that is super fascinating. I didn't know about that. And I think that for you, it takes a certain level, like a kind of personality and perseverance and resiliency to be able to understand different cultures from a business perspective when, to your point, some things can get lost in translation. And I think that that's really a success story here, is the ability to be flexible and to educate, because I think some people would be intimidated and not know where to start.
I cannot say I got it right every time. I might have lost my cool once or twice, you know. But overall, like, you have to remind yourself, like, it is a different way of doing business. It's a different way of approaching branding and marketing, actually. You have to understand, like, what are the commonalities and what are the differences, and start explaining. And again, like, as Amore Pacific Group is becoming a global group, they are also, you know, adjusting the type of talent that are in the HQ team. And now you have people that come from more globalized background that have worked in other markets. And so the dialogue is becoming much easier with the more recent top-level executives that have been joining the global brands.
And I think for you as a marketer, it also makes you more well-rounded and understanding how to position, how to communicate, how to reinforce the brand DNA from your background and having had those experiences. And speaking of your background, I'm always curious to know, what are, like, the biggest lessons that you've learned in your career so far? I know that's really big, but maybe that there's one that if you could share and someone says, wow, look at Julian's career, how did he get to where he is?
It's probably something that all of us in the beauty industry, like, I still feel so much younger than actually how old I am. I think, like, what I love about working in beauty, that could have been my other opener, is, like, you work with so many cool people and a lot of young people, and that keeps me energized. And, you know, I'm a creative person. I'm very passionate. I constantly have 50,000 ideas a minute, which drives my team crazy sometimes. But I never lost that spark. I always have the fire in the belly. And because, like, I constantly, you know, when TikTok started and all the social media and stuff, I was all over it. And it was like as if I was starting again, you know. So I really feel like staying cool and relevant. Also, you know, I'm on brands that are very Gen Z and millennial focused. So I think that kept me there. If I had been on a more luxury brand targeting a slightly older consumer, maybe that will be a different thing. But I really like the dynamism and the fast pace, ultimately, of all those changes and adapting to all those changes. And I really like to connect the dots. I think, you know, you spark an idea on social media and that becomes a gondola and a trend on Sephora, for instance, or that becomes a campaign and you put it all over. I think this ability to have this 360 holistic view and constantly connecting the dots, and that brings the next idea and the next idea, is really what has been driving me and making me successful. Like, bringing the creativity at every single moment, at every touch point.
I think that's great. And I think, but also what you're saying too, is it's being passionate and loving what you're doing. So I think that even from what you're saying, that you walked into Innisfree a few years before. And I think also from L'Oreal, that the people that I know, that my friends or everybody is, you're passionate about beauty. So it's like having some kind of passion about what you're doing will really drive your career.
100%.
So you've talked a lot about social, and that's one of my favorite subjects, as you know. And it talks about from going from TikTok to the gondola. That's so cool. I would love for you to just share a little bit more about the role that social has played for your brands, whichever one you want to talk about.
We have to talk about Laneige when it comes to social media, because it's truly a brand that, like, continues to grow. Like, we go viral on a weekly basis, you know. And so at the beginning, you're like, oh my God, we got so lucky. And then you start to understand how you get there. And I think the first thing we got was on Lip Sleeping Mask. You know, we really started to feel like this satisfying content, like super close up into the goop and the texture, was something that people were really reacting to. And so one day we had like one first video going viral, which was this super close-up of like scooping the formula out of the jar. And then this is where, you know, my marketing background come in. I'm like, I went to a person in the social team that was who was a super junior person, and now she's been killing it. She's been a great track record with us. And I'm like, okay, what you did was really cool, but now we're going to make it again. And the story is like, show me how you scoop. Do you scoop from left to right? Do you scoop with your fingers or with the spatula? Do you start from the center, from the border? And we did like 12,000 like different, like show me how you scoop. And then people started to do it their way because what was becoming a brand organic content became almost a challenge without being a challenge. And everybody was showing how they were scooping. And that created the first viral moment of the lip shipping mask. And then the second thing we really learned is every time we're going on, it's this idea of lo-fi versus hi-fi creative. Every time we're going on production and photo shoots, the beautiful images were, you know, were good on the gondola, on our classic advertising, but on social media, it was always flopping. But the minute you were showing behind the scenes on how that picture was being created, the set, the tools, the blooper reel, all that stuff, that was absolutely going crazy. And so when we signed Sydney Sweeney as the brand ambassador for the US, and at the time Sydney was just, you know, at the beginning of season two of Euphoria, she was not the star that she is today. That was, you know, like the lucky break where like La Neige and Sydney exploded at the same time. And so we brought to you behind the scene with Sydney Sweeney, and we really got to show like the amazing personality of Sydney. Like she's so approachable. She's such a fun girl and an amazing talent. And that's what people love into her. And La Neige got to be associated with this like great personality. And we have the brand has the same personality. You know, we're fun, approachable, serious when we need to be in skincare. And this is exactly what Sydney represents. And so those different moments were really great ways to go viral on TikTok and social. And then the more recent thing has been in real life activation. I really believe in that, bringing the brand to the consumers in real life so you can experience it. But at the same time, you create amazing content that goes viral again. And for people that were not touching physically, get to see the brand this way as well.
It's amazing what you say about lo-fi versus like overly produced shoots. And that's exactly true, that people want to see content that relates to them, that is something that they could make themselves. And that's super insightful because I think as marketers, you want to show the product in the best possible light with the packaging, with like everything like completely controlled and perfect, but the consumer doesn't care about that anymore. They want to see something real that they can relate to, that they can say, okay, that looks like what I have at home. That's something that I would use versus this is something that's, I guess, put on a pedestal.
You know, speaking of back in the days when we started at L'Oreal, you know, you would have told us 20 years ago that we would be okay with showing all the background noise. Absolutely not.
Right. That it's not perfect, that something could be off, that someone's hands would be in it, that you'd be dipping in it, that it would be a little bit more lo-fi is definitely the word, but a little bit more consumer friendly and like not as perfect.
Approachability.
Approachability. Yeah, exactly. So Julian, I can't believe how fast this time has flown by. I love everything that you have done in your career. It's so inspiring. And I have a new appreciation for La Neige and Innisfree. When you know the people behind it and you know the stories, it takes on a whole new meaning. And so if someone wants to find La Neige and Innisfree, can you tell us where to find them?
Sephora is your place. Innisfree is almost going to be all doors in the spring of 2024. La Neige is already in every single Sephora doors. So please go there. You can also find it on our website and on Amazon.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Julian, for spending the morning with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mimi.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.